Hey there, welcome to the Mental Perk Podcast. I'm Carla Hutcherson, licensed professional counselor.
And I'm Brandy Mock, entrepreneur, author, and community leader. And we're here to talk about
real people, real issues, and real talk.
Hey, welcome back to the Mental Perk with Carla and Brandy. And today we are discussing modern dating. You know, I think that dating and mental health go hand in hand because how many people aren't completely driven crazy by odd, weird dates or dating relationship issues or things going on in the dating world? I can imagine that it really does drum up a lot of depression and anxiety because right now things are so really uncertain, so different.
I'm getting anxiety just thinking about it, right?
I know. And I haven't been in the dating scene for a while, but I have patients. I have a lot of 20s, 30s, and 40-somethings who are going through the dating world and how complicated it really is. Because I feel like with all the additions of social media and, you know, you think about dating apps and all these different things, I think they have a purpose, but sometimes I think they can get in the way of just general connection.
Right. No, I think it's changed a lot since the days of us dating and going out, and it's hard to meet people now, I think.
It is.
And
it's so hard.
Thus all these apps, but then there's the positives and negatives to it,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, and I think that in dating, it's like we now do so much with our thumbs that we forget how to really focus on building connection through meeting in person, you know?
Yeah.
Is it thumb dating?
I'm just hearing you go, we're doing so much with our thumbs. I'm like,
well, this could be taken in multiple different ways. But
there's someone out there that's going to like that comment.
You know, thumbs are necessary in some things.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk about a couple of these really fun definitions. And so I've been hearing these throughout my counseling, and I wanted to look them up because some of them I'm just like, wow, what is that? So I'm going to go through and you tell me what you think they are.
Okay.
Are you ready?
All right.
Slow dating.
Means you're not dating fast. You're just kind of taking your time, getting to know the person.
Yes, it's kind of a gradual kind of approach to dating. Like,
okay,
you know, we're just kind of building on it.
Okay.
You know, we're not really defining it. We don't need to really define it. We're just going with the flow.
Okay, well, I mean,
Slow dating. That could come off in a lot of different ways,
right?
As well.
Right.
Soft launching.
I don't even know if I have a response for soft launching because
soft
I'm not
launching.
Sure what it is.
Well, soft launching, you know, because you have social media,
right?
So now instead of just saying we're boyfriend, girlfriend, or we're dating, you now have the soft launch onto social media where you might have a picture of you out or you might have a picture of this or whatever, but you're not quite saying we're together. It's a soft launch.
Well, you know, it's funny because I see all these profiles, and when these profiles come up, it's like, you'll see someone come up and like they'll change their profile to in a relationship. And
yes.
I'm like, is that something usually the person that's on that post wants to do, or you think it's pressure from the other person?
I think it's like, and there's a thing now, like instead of saying, hey, let's go study, you're like saying, does that date
let's
me?
Let's go study. Yeah, it does.
Okay.
Let's go study.
But now you're like,
will you
hey,
go with me?
Check yes
or
no.
No.
But now it's like, hey, do you want to be Facebook official? Do you want to be Instagram official?
Yeah,
I mean,
it's different.
It is different.
Very different.
All right. Situationship.
I don't know. I'm thinking situationship could be like if you are a person that has a certain love for something like scuba diving or whatever, mm-hmm. that could be situational. Like you're dating that person because they have something in common with you in a specific area of your life. No?
I mean, that's a pretty good guess. I don't think it quite applies, but I think it's good.
Okay.
Yeah, so I think it's more like both partners are like not 100% sure what they are in. Like, we've been friends. Now we're friends with benefits. We're not really sure what this is. Neither one of us are defining it.
Okay.
So it's just kind of in la-la land of situationship.
La-la land of situationships.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes,
all right.
Absolutely. So what about micro cheating?
I mean, anything with cheating in it is a, I don't know, micro cheating means you're cheating every now and again, but you're not a serial cheater?
I like that. Yeah. I like the serial cheater part because I do think there are serial cheaters out there. So this is where you're kind of in a situationship relationship, but you have subtle behaviors that might kind of pass the lines of being overly flirty, but you're not crossing the lines of cheating.
Okay.
So, yes.
Okay.
You might kind of get some of your needs met based on just flirting with other women, but you're in this relationship or men or.
I mean, I'm like, if you're doing that, then why are you in a relationship?
Exactly.
It's not giving you everything, right?
Correct. Okay. Correct.
All right.
All right. Gaslighting. I think this term is so overused and misunderstood.
I think gaslighting sounds like a Karen to me. It's like you're gaslighting, you're a Karen. You know, it's like it's used so much.
And I hear it in just every other sentence a lot of times. But I think in relationship wise, it may have a little bit of a purpose, right?
Okay.
But I think it's more about manipulative behavior that causes the other person to kind of question their thoughts, memories, feelings. So it's like when you're kind of trying to switch it so that you don't have to take responsibility for stuff. And even though you might have done something, you're trying to make that person question whether you did it or not.
Yeah, and I'm like, run for the hills. The minute you get that, just run for the hills.
That is a major, major red flag.
Yeah.
Catch and release.
First thing I think of is fishing. Let's go fishing.
But isn't that the way dating has been described before? Like you kind of catch and reel them in, you know?
Well, I mean, that could be like, okay, you went out with them, you caught them, and then they're not what you thought it was, so you're going to release them out into the pool again. That's how I feel.
I think that's kind of where you have a romantic interest, you've been pursuing them, but you start to quickly lose interest.
Yeah.
And over a little time, maybe, you stop trying to try so hard.
Okay.
Yeah, so I had them. It was great. Maybe we had a one-night stand, maybe had three night stands or whatever, but now I'm letting them go.
Bye.
See ya.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Breadcrumbing.
I'm not a cook, so if I was a cook, I could probably come up with a lot of different terms for this, but I am not sure. Is it like you're playing hard to get?
Well, it's kind of where you're sporadically and intermittently communicating with a romantic interest.
Okay.
But it's like you give them a little crumb of bread every now and then, but then you kind of fade off. And then when you see them kind of panicking, you give them another crumb.
Okay, that's just too much work for
me. That's a lot of work.
That's a lot of work, and I don't want to work that hard.
It seems like dating shouldn't be that hard.
It shouldn't be that hard.
If you're into them, it should be that it just feels natural.
If you're playing games this early on, it's a good sign. Get out.
And I see this. I see a lot of game playing.
Yeah.
And I think because maybe we're physically dating this person, but now we got stuff going on social media over here, and we're talking on Snapchat or Instagram on these. So it's like you're not really investing in the one person.
Yeah, you're getting something physically in one area, and you're getting it emotionally in another.
Yes. Ghosting.
Another term I think she used a lot.
It is used a whole lot.
Yeah, I mean, ghosting could fall into any of those categories above, I think. You know, it's like, if you're getting ghosted, move on.
Yeah, I kind of feel like, you know, if you put yourself out there, you've given your all, you've tried to communicate with this person, and then they just all of a sudden stop communicating, that's kind of cruel. And I feel like in that situation, you would want someone who treats you better.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, if they're going to just stop responding, that's not the kind of person you want to be in a long-term relationship with anyway.
Yeah, speaking of, you talk about ghosting, and I've got a little story here. It says, I met a guy on Bumble. He set a date to meet on Saturday. He proceeded to ask me to send him a photo without makeup, which I don't think is a bad thing that guys ask, because I don't know about you, but I've seen some of these makeovers where they're putting their teeth in and and it's not even the same person. So I don't blame a man for that at all.
I don't know. I'm going to have to go with, why don't you just meet him first and then see, you know? I mean,
yeah, but what if you've met this girl and she's hot, right? And then you meet her at somewhere else, or y'all sleep together, and you wake up the next day and you're like, I know I didn't drink that much the night before. She can't be this different looking. I mean, it happens. And so, you know, anyway, he says, I stopped talking to him after more weird stuff, like him telling me he was a nice guy. This was a Wednesday. He texted me on a Friday. I didn't reply. A few hours later, he found all of my social media, including my Facebook, and left me abusive messages for ghosting him. the ghosting. Calling me a...
See you next Tuesday.
Yeah, see you next Tuesday, amongst other wonderful things. I blocked him, and I was genuinely scared. And scared, I saw him on Bumble a few years later and tried reporting him, but to no avail. They're out there.
That is so crazy. And that's what we're talking about, I think, today with the dating world. It's so hard to just meet people, especially, you know, when you get in the work world, you work all day long, you go home. It's like, where do you meet people? Where do you meet people? And then you get on these dating apps and you don't know what you're getting into.
Right.
I think this is such a big challenge. And I think it can be exhausting.
I'm exhausted hearing it.
So, you know, we talk about, I have many of my patients will talk about dating fatigue, where they've been on these social media sites forever and they've been on these dating apps and they go on these different dates. None of them work out. You get ghosted a lot. You know, it's just like, it's like one after the other. You're swiping right. You're swiping left. You swipe left or only right?
Swipe up, down. Swipe. I don't know.
But anyway, I'm just like, it has to be mentally exhausting.
Yeah. No, for sure.
And I think it gets back to connection. I feel like there's so much more you connect in person. And I think what happens it also on these social or these dating apps is that once you kind of swipe right on somebody and they agree to start talking, you're talking through these messages and you get to know each other on black and white. But then when you actually try to meet, the conversations aren't the same.
Oh, I've heard so many stories of people that chatted it up for, you know, let's say a month, and they finally get to a point of meeting, and then they just totally get crickets. There's no talking at all on the date. It's almost like they didn't even know that this is the same person they were talking to online.
There's a comfort in this texting.
Yeah.
And then we've lost the art of, I think, personal connection. Mm-hmm. But you see that everywhere, not just in dating. You see that, I mean, like if you're in an elevator, everyone's on their phones. They're not looking at each other, talking to each other. You know, if you're passing someone or someone's opening the door for you, you just don't get that. You get everyone is looking down instead of looking up, right?
Yeah.
And I think that kind of translates into dating is there's no connection.
There's no connection.
I mean, I can't tell you the number of times I was asked out just because I might have, you know, said hello to somebody or gave someone a compliment somewhere, you know, along the lines, and it kind of turned into a connection. So, you know, I think a lot of people are so scared to give people compliments these days. They're scared to just talk to anybody and just be like, hey, how's your day? How's it going? You know, and I feel like that's been a thing in the past where that is kind of how you got dates, is just talking to people.
Yeah. Yeah.
So anyway, I feel that's kind of different. Problem solving in relationships. I know that this is another challenge because let's say you do get into a situation where you've gone on a couple dates and maybe there's a conflict that arises, something that y'all don't agree on or something. Instead of like problem solving and working through it, people just block each other. It's just so easy to just block or ghost.
Yeah. And that's like, are we 5 years old? What are we doing?
In any relationship, there's going to be problems. Any relationships, there's going to be conflicts or disagreements.
Right.
And you can't just block or ghost somebody. I mean, that's not a relationship.
Well, and here's the deal. If someone's blocking me after not agreeing with what I said, that's a clear indicator to me that I don't want to have to work through that situation with that person. If they're going to act like that up front, and they can't sit down and say, hey, you know, I mean, I'm done.
Yes. And I think it's just that whole, I mean, they're lacking problem-solving skills in that situation.
Right, right.
Relationships are hard. They really are.
They are. They're work.
I also think there's like a FOMO situation. Like, you know, you see all this wonderful stuff on social media about meeting people or meeting on apps or meeting on Snapchat or, you know, or you see other people's relationships going so well. Well, again, when you think about social media, the things that are put out there are what people want you to see. They're not what's really happening in their everyday lives.
No.
So then people get this whole FOMO. Well, my relationship's not as good as theirs, or my significant other doesn't treat me as good as they do. And so you have this kind of fear of missing out or this comparison. And so it can affect the quality of your own relationship.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's kind of another area.
So question, who should pay for the first date? That's a question a lot of people. I think we're living in a day, an age where it's okay. I'm a person that likes to pay for my own date. And I think the reason why I do is because I think there's this chivalry's not gone completely. Right. And I like a guy to open the door and, you know, like, you know, do the things that are gentlemanlike. But at the same time, there's a part of me that feels awkward if I'm not, really, honestly, if I'm not really into the date, I'm going to pay for my own tab.
I think there's a place for that, but I also feel like, you know, I think women have come such a long way from where we were in the 1930s, 40s, and 50s. I think we don't give ourselves enough credit for all the changes that have been made.
Right.
I mean, women are now corporate leaders and doctors and lawyers and Supreme Court justices and all of these different things. We've come such a long way, but we also want to touch into that feminine side where we want to feel loved and appreciated.
No,
right?
I agree. Yeah.
And so I think there's something to letting a guy pay for your dinner in order to show you that he feels you're special.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. That's and like I said, I'm okay with that if the date's going good, but if it's
correct.
Not.
And that's why, like, I think you kind of you have to play
gauge
it by
it.
Ear.
Yeah, you got to gauge it for sure.
I mean, don't be afraid to pay for stuff, because I think, you know, you work hard for your money and you want to share it with someone, and I think that's great, or you want to treat them. I think that's amazing. But I also think don't be scared to let somebody treat you. It doesn't weaken you in any way.
Well, it's funny because out of a survey, it says that out of 300,000 singles, they found that 63% of the men would prefer to pay for the tab, the first date, mm-hmm. while 46% of the women polled believe that they it was the man's responsibility to pay for the first date. So it's kind of like it's getting kind of in the middle a little, right?
I think so. But I think there shouldn't be an expectation. I think you have a point when you say, see how the date is going. But I think it's always okay on the first date to offer and say, hey, would you like to go, you know, Dutch on this? And I think that they're going to be able to answer that.
Yeah.
And if they say, no, I would love to pay for this, then be okay to let them do that.
Yeah. Yeah. You definitely need to, because I think it demasculates a guy sometimes. And it's like they, you know, they need to feel like they got the charge on
yes,
this, right?
But I think likewise, men have to let women pay sometimes so that they feel like they're, you know, contributing equally to the relationship that they're not being manipulated.
Right.
So
right.
I think it's kind of goes both ways.
But then, ladies, you start something, you better be ready to finish it, because that next meal you think you're going to get bought by the man, he may be like, oh, you got this, you know? So, and he might take you to an expensive place. Yeah. She wasn't ready for it, right?
Yes, absolutely. What do you think about romanticizing unrealistic expectations of relationships? Like, I think rom-com plays a big part in this. We see these movies where, you know, these men are just, you know, just absolutely romantic and going after you and getting all this, you know, attention. And it just romanticizes the whole thing. And men are amazing, but I don't know that they always think on those terms or that they're going to do those things on their own.
Well, I think, again, I think there are men out there that love to do that kind of thing. And I think it's great. And here's my suggestion to the men that do that.
Yeah.
You better keep doing it if you're starting it, right?
Yeah, you can't stop. You can't start and do all this and really reel that person in and then find out that's not really who you are.
Yeah, no. And you see a lot of that, though. You see a lot of this impressing someone up front constantly, and then all of a sudden you're in this relationship exclusive, and then it stops. I'm like, oh, no, you start it, you got to keep doing it.
But I also think that women have to be aware that men cannot read your mind.
No.
And if you have certain needs or wants or desires, if you're not communicating them and you're getting mad at him for not knowing that you want those things, then that's on you.
Yes, I
right?
agree 100%.
Because you have to communicate. Both parties have to communicate their needs.
Right, right.
Or it doesn't work.
Right. And I think men are a little less to do that. I think they're a little bit more reserved. I think in general men are just not very emotional. And I think that they tend to hold back a little.
Yeah.
And so I think it can go both ways for sure. Who should ask someone out on the first date?
Who should ask for the first date?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, I think the tradition of that is the guy would ask, but I think if we're going back to the version of women where we're trying to be more equal and we're trying to, you know, speak up for ourselves and really stand, I feel like it really depends on the moment.
Yeah.
I feel like if you're like trying to do a formal date of some sort, then I think it can be a very romantic gesture for a man to ask for the first date. But I also feel like if you've worked hard at building kind of this friendship that's turning into a relationship, I think it's okay for the woman to say, you know what, you know, I'd love to go out. You want to go to dinner? I mean, I think that's okay, too.
I mean, I asked my husband out on a date.
Yeah.
First time around.
I bet you had to. No, you are a strong woman. I could totally see you being, hey,
no, but don't
I'm
think
taking
I wasn't
you out, little dude. You're
well,
going
and
with
you
me.
Know, from a woman's perspective on this, when I did, you know, it seems like a million hours of response time, but I was like, there's a little bit of me. I was like, what if he says no and I'm on the spot here? Like, I got put on the spot to ask him out. And so I'm like, all right, let's go ahead and do this. And
but
I did.
You have the courage to do that. I mean, so I, and I
never
think
done that before, though.
But look, it turned out really well for you. And
it
so
did.
I hope that that's like liquid encouragement, not liquid encouragement, but emotional encouragement for women out there to know it's okay.
I might have had a little liquid courage before I did it. So, yeah. Yeah.
Well, I could see that. I could see that. You got another story for us?
I do. I do. So let's see. Letty talks about how she talked to a guy for a week, asked him if he wanted to go out to dinner on a Saturday. I said, sure, why not? We were going to a nice Italian place, but he was wearing sweatpants and a t-shirt. No, no, no.
Oh, no. On the first date, you better be looking good.
Yeah.
When he
picked me up, I just shrugged it off, which I would never have done. And thought it was a little strange. We get there, and I'm heading for the front door. He tells me to come here. I'm confused. But I follow him anyway. He tells me that dinner was served while pointing to a dumpster. To make matters worse, he took out an old takeout container of pasta and started eating it. It was so disgusting and shocked, but I had no ride. Ladies, make sure you got a ride. So I said that I had to go to the bathroom. I told the restaurant about the guy. Told the restaurant about the guy and asked if he could call me Uber. Worst date of my life.
Oh, my gosh. It seems like that guy was on purpose trying to make it a bad date. Does it?
I don't
or
know.
Or do you just think he's just a little...
I don't know.
Off...
I don't know.
The elevator didn't quite go to the
top. I'm not sure.
Something's going down.
I don't know.
I think that's where you have to kind of be aware of what you're saying yes to.
Yeah.
I mean, and again, if we go back to the dating apps, I feel like people can put... you know, their best, I mean, they can make themselves look really good.
Well, let me tell you another little short story, which I thought was kind of crazy. Guy and girl were talking for a little bit on social media. It was just a weird one. It went on a date with a guy from Match. We met at a wine bar, and he immediately told me he had multiple other dates scheduled for that same day, which we talked about. I mean, we'll go into that in a minute. He then claimed he could communicate with dolphins in a special language.
OMG.
And proceeded to lecture me because I did not practice transcendental meditation. Needless to say, I chugged my glass of wine and paid the bartender and got the heck out of there.
This is the scary part of dating.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that when we start on the black and white, the thumb texting, the whatever that is, it's so much easier to become something that maybe you're not.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's why I think it's so important to find a way to meet people in person as well. There's got to be a mixture. And I'm not saying that dating apps aren't helpful because I think that they are.
Right.
I think in some situations where you have, you know, it's just really a struggle to meet people. You're in a new area. You've moved to a new town with your job. That's a great way to find connection with people. So I don't want to ever do dating apps a disservice. Actually, my son met his wife on a dating app. So, I mean, I think that they serve a purpose.
They do.
But I think that the combination of dating apps and finding a way of personal connection. There has to be a way to bring those two together.
There does.
So there has to be, there can be more success in dating relationships.
There does. So what about talking about politics on the first date? Is that a good idea?
Ooh.
Politics and religion.
Those are such tough topics. You know, because I feel like in a good relationship, you have to have a solid foundation with common values, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I think those are important topics to make sure that you guys can be in a relationship, even if you don't quite agree on those things. But you have to remember, you have to have core values that really connect with each other. Otherwise, the foundation of the relationship's not going to be as strong as it needs to be.
So maybe if you're talking through apps, that's probably one of the first things you kind of want to get out of the way. How do you feel about religion and politics?
That's not a bad idea.
I don't think so. I think it's probably needed.
I think maybe using those first few interactions with people, it's about kind of locating those values rather than the superficial kind of conversations, maybe you have some of these tough ones to weed some of these out.
Right.
So that might be an option in managing dating apps. But yeah, I do feel like we have to focus on, in order for a relationship to be healthy, we have to have a common ground of some sort. So I think that's important.
How do you deal with awkward silence on a first date?
Ooh, where's our crickets? We need some crickets.
Crickets. How do you deal with that?
Ugh, that's such an annoying sound on a date because you're already kind of nervous. You want to impress this person. And then it's like, what do you do with that? You know? So I think it's good to kind of have some things that you might bring up in case that happens. Like kind of in your head, have a list of things you might ask or talk about. Mm-hmm. I think that's always good. Take the time to ask questions about that person, you know, finding out things that they like to do for fun, you know. Mm-hmm. You could always go back to the, hey, what's your favorite movie? I don't know.
And then you get
crickets.
Yeah.
Yeah. What would you do in that situation?
I just keep talking. Wow. I would talk to myself and answer myself if the conversation wasn't good.
I go back to be prepared.
Yeah.
Like have a list of things that you're going to ask in case the conversation starts to have those awkward silences.
Yeah. Yeah. And it happens. Let's be real. It happens. But I mean, okay. Let's just play, role play here.
All right.
If I'm the guy and you're the girl and we're having great conversation and the guy, the guy, comes in and says, Carla, I'm really turned on by feet. I would love to touch them feet. How would you feel?
First, I'd have to kind of sit there for a second and really take that comment in. Mm-hmm. I know there's foot fetishes out there. Yeah. I mean.
But how would you answer me?
How would I? You just really put me on the spot here. I mean, I do have pretty cute feet, so I'm going to, I'm going to agree that my feet are pretty cute.
Okay, they're cute, but do you want him fondling your feet? That's my question.
No, I'm going to save that for another date, really.
Any date, though? I'm like, no, you're not fondling my feet.
Well,
if he's going first date, hey, I've got a foot fetish.
Okay, going back to relationship 101, we got to set some healthy boundaries, and if you're not comfortable with that, you just kind of say, well, not really into that. If that's a deal breaker, let me know.
So maybe that should be part of the first conversation, religion.
And fetishes.
Fetishes, yeah. Fetishes
religion, politics, and fetishes.
Yeah. Or are you married?
Well, okay, now that should be question number one on the thumb texting situation.
Right.
Yeah, that should be... thumb texting, is that a word?
I don't know. I just...
I don't know.
Okay. Every time you say thumb texting, I'm like, oh, God.
But, the black and white stuff, right? So let's go back to... That should be question number one. Before this even continues and I start to, think, oh, he's kind of cool, I'm going to be like... Hey, are you in a relationship?
Yeah.
Are you married?
Yeah.
I don't think there's anything wrong with saying that.
I don't either.
We have people that wrote in that told us about, they met this guy, they're getting along so great, had a great date, and then to find out later he's married. Why would you not want to know that up front?
You would. Renee talks about that. She goes, I got a message from a man who ended up being married. That is the third question that I ask now. What do I, what to do? What do you do is number one. Where are you from and are you married? Another one responded to the last question with, well, it's complicated. No, it's not.
That would be answer enough for me right there.
Yeah.
They shouldn't even be on a date with you if it's complicated.
Yeah, it's no, they shouldn't.
Yeah, I mean, work that stuff out before you ask somebody out.
Are you trying to get a backup plan before the first thing fails?
Yes.
You see a lot of people do that, Carla.
And let me tell you, none of you out there, men, women, doesn't matter who you are, none of you are someone's backup plan. Don't ever let yourself be someone's backup plan.
No.
Don't. You're
life's
worthy.
Life's too short.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're worthy of happiness. You're not worthy of being someone's backup plan.
What percentage of first dates end up with a kiss, you think?
Oh, I'm going to go 75%.
Girl, you were right on top. 70%.
Ow, look at me.
Carla was one of the 70 percenters. Ow. Yeah.
Well, I might have done one or two of those.
What percentage of first dates lead to second dates?
I'm going to go 50%.
Dang it, girl. 52%. I'm
a dating expert.
Yeah. How many first dates are successful, you think?
40%.
That's actually higher than it's 90%, it says.
Really?
Yeah, I'm a little shocked.
I am shocked by that.
I am shocked.
If you watch Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, you would think that that's not true. I'm guessing I'm watching too much reality TV.
I think you are.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if it's so much reality anymore. Uh-huh. That's okay. Not, I don't know anybody that has that same reality.
But I feel like the adults that come in my office, I would question that 90%.
I would too.
Yeah. Because I'm not seeing as many of first dates transitioning into second dates.
What percentage of singles drink alcohol on the first date?
Ooh, 85%.
You're close there at 70%, according to Zeusk. But I will tell you this right now. If I'm on a bad date, I'm going to chug them bad boys down to get through the date.
You do that, but you need to make sure it's not so much that you're not aware of what you're doing.
Oh, no. I'm going to know. And let's go into this. Ladies out there, and even men, let's not just isolate the women. Let's go men and women. I think if you're going on a date, you need to let your buddies know or your girlfriends know that you're going on a date, where you're going. 100%. Let them track you, because we've heard so many stories of things going bad on the first date, and these women men and women being put in compromised positions, and it leads down a path not so safe. So
absolutely. I think in today's dating world, especially when we're meeting people in such different ways, that safety has to be a priority. You haven't, that person hasn't earned your trust yet. So you need to make sure, find your friends, Life 360, is that what it is?
Yeah.
Those things are, just turn it on when you're on dates. Like, let your friends know where you're at, make sure that they know where you're going, where you're meeting. And also, until you know that person, take your own car.
Yeah.
Or use an Uber.
And don't, I mean, I know, well, and there's so many apps, it's just hookup apps. So you're going to be like hooking up at each other's houses, that kind of stuff. I say get a hotel room. Don't take them back to your house, because once you do that,
they know where you live.
They know where you live. Can be very dangerous. So,
So no judgment here.
Nope.
I know that's a different dating world out there.
It happens.
And people's needs are different. I mean, especially if you've like spent your early 20s and 30s like building a career, so you didn't date a whole lot, and now you're in your 40s. You know, those are different games.
I've always told people, you don't buy a car without test driving it, right?
So, I hear you there.
I mean.
Yeah, so there's a lot of difference. Dating is very different. You know, back in the days, people were getting married at 18 years old. So, you know, the sexual experience was very different than people who are now not getting serious until their 30s or 40s. Yeah. So you're going to have different needs. You have different needs.
You are.
So that kind of brings me to kind of this modern dating situation. And we've talked about kind of the lack of connection. What we do see more is people feeling more comfortable having sex than having a conversation with someone.
Yeah. I mean,
I've heard this so many times. Like, they've slept together, and then when they actually go on a date, you get.
Yeah.
You know? And so I feel like
sometimes the physical is better than the conversation.
Yes. But what I also feel like is it seems satisfying at the time, and you feel like you're rolling with the punches and you're really modern and into this dating world, but you also find yourself emotionally empty.
You do, but I think a lot of people nowadays know what they're getting themselves into. They know they're going into date just to have the physical part of it and not much so the emotional. So it's kind of an expectation now. It's, you know, do your thing and go.
What happens when you catch feelings for that person now and y'all haven't had the conversation of what happens if one of us feels for each other?
That's why I say you better have yourself in check before you do it. Because I think there's a lot of that happens. And I think that, you know.
And that's where we're getting the depression.
Yeah.
Right?
For sure.
And we're seeing depression with dating because you're
only
getting.
Was that not good enough? You know.
And then you're getting only, you're not. So if you think about sex, it's an emotional and a physical connection, right? And so if you're only getting the physical, you're missing half of it or more than half of it.
Right.
And so that leaves you feeling very empty, I think. So I feel like that's something you really have to consider before you jump into that kind of relationship. If you're just looking for a physical connection and you know that's all you want, then that's one thing. But when you start to have those feelings, you have to really check and see if this is the right situation for you.
Well, and I think there's a lot of people out there that do. They go in with that intention of it just being physical. And like you said, one party or the other starts to feel an attachment to the person emotionally.
Absolutely.
And it can go crazy, right? So make sure you know what you're getting yourself into.
You know, we also talked about no one talks on the phone anymore, no one FaceTimes anymore. It's like everything is done through text, and we know that texts are misread. Mm-hmm. It's hard to really see all those nonverbals that go along with that. And so you misread messages, and then you start to create these kind of cognitive distortions about where things are. And you might think someone's mad at you. You may think something's not going well. And in return, they're out having pizza and they're not even thinking about you.
Well, and here's another thing too I've heard a lot of, and I don't know about you, but I've heard so many guys now, they send their junk pictures to the women.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, you know what? Make sure you let the woman know ahead of time. Don't get involved with this woman and get her built up emotionally, and then one day you just send her a picture of your junk. No one wants to see your junk. If she asks for your junk picture, she's ready for it, right?
Yeah.
But otherwise, don't send your manhood to a woman. It's just disrespectful. I think, you know, if a woman's into it, great.
But if likewise, women, same way.
Absolutely. Women, don't be trashy about it. Now, if you want to do it, great. If there's that understanding, great. But that's just, you cross the line when you do that to me.
It goes back to communication, right?
Yeah.
So communicate about those things. And if that's something that you guys both agree on,
great.
Then
do it.
Go for it.
Tear it up.
But don't just do it without asking, because it can come across as disrespectful and it can really affect the quality of the relationship.
Oh, I'd be done. Like if I didn't know it was coming,
open
it up and bam, you know?
Yeah. And I think, you know, this gets into where courtship doesn't exist. And this is where we have to get back to courtship does not show weakness. You know, court each other. Make sure that you're being respectful of each other, because dating relationships should be respectful of each other. And so courting is so important. Show that person that they're special, that you put time and thought into that date, and that you really wanted it to be special for that person.
Yeah, and you know, I think, and this is just a recommendation, if you've been single this long and it hasn't been working out, go with what Carla just said, the courting, you know, because you've already lost so much time trying to figure out someone. Take that new step and try to court them, right?
I don't think anybody doesn't want to feel special.
No.
I think people love when people put thought into spending time with them.
Yeah.
I feel like it has to go both ways. Women, you can't just depend on the men to do that. And men, you can't just, you think the women are going to be the creative ones.
Right.
It has to go both ways. Challenge yourself to do things that are out of your comfort zone.
Yeah, and you know, another suggestion I think I would recommend is, you know, if you're not used to being around someone by yourself on a first date, take a group of friends.
I love that. And I always do.
I think you have more fun doing that, and your friends have input. They kind of get a feel of the person.
And it makes it a little less awkward, I think. So I think group dates are a great way to get a relationship started.
I do too. Mm-hmm. I do too. And multiple, you know, keep doing it till you get comfortable enough to where you're alone with them.
You know, and I think that this is such a hot topic right now. Brandy and I would really love to take this into several different, you know, episodes, because I think what we'd like to do is hear from you guys on how to meet people. I would really like to brainstorm with you guys on how to meet people, because that's where people really get stuck.
They do. They do. So send in your information to us. Let us know. Message us. Let us know what's worked for you and what's not worked for you.
Absolutely. This is such an important topic. We love talking about it. We love to get real with you guys. So keep the communication coming. You can reach out to Carla@mentalperk.org or Brandy@mentalperk.org. Send us your thoughts. We are always, you know, we love to hear from you guys.
Thanks, guys.
All right. Thank you. If you or anyone you know is struggling with any mental health issues, we want you to reach out to a friend, a trusted family member, somebody you trust. We want you to get connected with a professional. If you are having self-harm thoughts or suicidal thoughts, we want you to get immediate help. Dial 911, go to the nearest ER, or you can call the National Suicide Hotline at 988. We at Mental Perk want you to know you're worthy. We're in this together.